Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Tommy Lorenzo, Cover the Weekend is the name of the podcast. An LA guy will join us. We will go over the World Series, get his thoughts on Game 1, MVP, everything that comes with the World Series. Had him on last year before the World Series. He did a hell of a job, and I'm excited to talk to him, maybe get some college football picks. Get his thoughts on the news of the day, and that is the Rozier and Billups arrest, as I'm sure you've heard. But let me start. I'll start with the football picks. I'll give you my thoughts on the Rozier and Billups. Just a thought or two on the World Series. Did cover the World Series on Wednesday with Bear and gave my thoughts on the open here. But I'll start football picks just to get these kind of out of the way here, and we'll go from there. College, I like Ole Miss getting the 5. I just think they're so much better offensively than Oklahoma. The quarterback, Mateer, threw 3 picks that first game back from injury. Didn't look healthy. Came back last week. They won. They won comfortably against South Carolina, but he only threw for 150 yards. So that Ole Miss offense is a machine. I think they keep it close. I don't know if Oklahoma is good enough offensively to pull away from a team like Ole Miss. So I will take the points with Ole Miss. And I like a couple things. I like Michigan State plus 14.5 against Michigan. Michigan's another team where on the road, rivalry game. I thought Michigan State played much better last week. I think this is more like a 7-10 point game. I think Michigan State will be feisty in this game. I just think that's too many points, especially getting the hook on the 14. I don't think that Michigan offense is one to cover that big of a number on the road. And I'll go back to Vandy. I was on the under last week, so not back to Vandy, even though I thought they'd win the game. That wasn't one of my plays. I talked about it with JVT. I just thought they were better than LSU. I think it's the same scenario here. Same line. They're at home. Same building. Starting to get a little home field advantage in that building. Having a better program. That used to be just a dead building. It's not the case anymore. I just like Pavia more than Prabuel. I know the Missouri defense is pretty good, but Missouri was super fortunate to get past Missouri last week. And I keep referencing when Vandy played Alabama, that was a game they could have easily won. 2 turnovers in the red zone. They had an early lead. Could have been up 2 scores. They went toe-to-toe with Bama in Alabama, off the revenge, all of that stuff. So I'm impressed with Vandy. I think there's a path for Vandy can somehow be, you know, a 2-loss team. I think they'll probably lose 1 the rest of the way, but Vandy, to me, is very live for the playoff. I'm okay laying the 2.5. Maybe you go money line and lay the $1.40 or so to be safe. I wouldn't lay 3. There are some 2.5s out there. I do think Vandy wins the game. So Vandy, Ole Miss, and Michigan State are the plays. In college, NFL, I've come around to liking the Jets, believe it or not. 6.5, I think Taylor's going to play. At some point, you know, Fields doesn't make sense. Taylor's a veteran. The team's going nowhere. I think they'll play the kid Cook, Brady Cook from Missouri, the rookie. I mean, why not? Even if it's a 1 in 100 chance at a lottery ticket. We saw Brock Purdy, much different situation. But we've seen Brock Purdy and these guys come out of nowhere and be viable starters. Why not just see what you got? Throw him out there. If he stinks, who cares? You get a better pick anyway. But I actually think Taylor will keep it close. Since he's not good on defense, Jets have had horrible turnover luck. And we're kind of due for one of these scenarios here where we get a little upset carnage here in Survivor, because we had that patch a couple weeks ago where the Cardinals beat the Titans in the crazy game, and then the Bills and Patriots was the Sunday night game. And Eagles, that was the same week, Rams and 49ers the Thursday night, and then it wrapped around the Eagles and Giants that Thursday night. And there was a rash of upsets that week. Other than that, it's been all chalk. I get the sense we'll see some upsets coming. I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets get the first win. I'll take them plus the 6.5. And I do like Atlanta laying the 7.5 now. I know you're laying the hook now, but to me, that is a dreadful matchup. That Miami run defense, which is just awful, going against Atlanta and Bijan Robinson. Atlanta's been much better at home. I think Atlanta will be able to run the ball and run it effectively. You know, Tua got benched in the middle of the fourth quarter, end of the third quarter, whatever it was last week. I know they'll be a little bit more comfortable this week playing in a dome, Miami will, but to me, this is 31-14 written all over it. I'll lay the 7.5 with Atlanta. I do think Atlanta bounces back and wins. So Atlanta and the Jets are my 2 favorite in the NFL, and I'll throw in the Cowboys getting the 3.5. I just think, look at DVOA. It's not perfect, but Dallas is 9th. Denver's 14th. Bo Nix for his career is 2-8 when his defense allows 20-plus points. They're probably going to allow 20-plus points this week. I think Dallas, that's a machine of an offense. Pickens, I talked about before the year, is an offensive player of the year, deep, deep sleeper, 201. He's tremendous. Put him with Lamb, who's healthy again. I think they're going to be able to move the ball. So expecting Bo Nix and Denver to win and win by margin, I don't know If that's a good bet right now. So I will take Dallas plus 3.5. So Dallas plus 3.5, Jets plus 6.5 are the dogs, and then Atlanta to lay it to go with the college picks. I mentioned with the World Series, I think the key here, as we'll talk to Tommy in a second about it, the key here is the layoff, and that's a hard question to answer. I have a hard time getting past the power of the Dodgers, the bats for the Dodgers, the power arms of the Dodgers. I know the Blue Jays neutralize a lot of that by putting the ball in play, but look, it's baseball. It's a short series. These teams did play in August. If you want to take anything from that, Dodgers won 2 out of 3. I don't take anything from that. It's a 3-game series in August. But short series, anything can happen. That being said, I'll go Dodgers in 5. I think if the Dodgers do win, you're going to start to hear a couple of things. You're going to start to hear salary cap. We need a salary cap, which I don't look. If you're a small market team, maybe you want a salary cap. I think these teams, these owners make plenty of money. Yes, it's crazy when you have one team spending whatever, $60 million, and the Dodgers spending everything they spend. These teams are all owned by billionaires. They cry poor. They don't make any money. I don't buy it. Dodgers do the right thing and take the revenue and put it back into the team. These other teams pocket the money. I actually think the Dodgers are not the ones that are bad for the sport. I think the teams that don't spend are bad for the sport. But those are conversations you're going to hear, and you're going to start to hear the comparisons between this Dodger group. And if back-to-back is special and hasn't been done since the late 90s Yankees, you're going to start to hear those comparisons of, you know, how do they match up? Was this team better? Was that team better? I actually think the Dodgers at full strength, as much as I hate to say it, probably a little bit better. Pound for pound, talent for talent. Yankees had the much better bullpen. The Dodgers, here's the thing, though. The Dodgers pitching isn't always healthy. When the Dodgers pitching is healthy, the Yankee pitching was great. Pettit and Wells and Clemens and El Duque. Dodgers pitching, the Yankees pitching was awesome, and they had the bullpen. Dodgers lineup, probably a little more power, a little more day-to-day, you know, pop. But that's one of those great barroom baseball debates of who had a better team, these Dodgers or the late 90s Yankees. And I think those are conversations that we'll be having here in 10 days, a couple weeks. I do think the Dodgers win a short series. I picked them to sweep the Brewers. Why not? I think five is the short shot here. It's the consensus pick. Anytime you pick a sweep, it's disrespectful. And you could lose game one, and that sweep pick looks so stupid. I did that in the NBA Finals. I picked the Thunder to sweep the Pacers and just look like an idiot after game one when they blew it. I'm going to go with the sweep. I'll say Dodgers win all four, and it looks similar to the NLCS. I don't think it'll be as easy, but I think the Dodgers are better than the Blue Jays. I think they're meaningfully better than the Blue Jays, and I will take the sweep. You can get it FanDuel plus 680. Mentioned the other day, if you do think like it to go five, Snell at 19-1 World Series MVP, I don't think is a bad bet. Gil Alexander, the other day in his show, brought up Mookie Betts when he was 20-1. As MVP, that's not bad. It's mostly down to 15-1, 17-1. It's come down a little bit. It's probably come down for a reason. I think that 20-1, I wish I'd kind of jumped on that one. 20-1 was probably a good bet. I mean, it's still Mookie Betts, even though he's had kind of a down year. You could see him going, you know, 10 for 23 with three homers, playing good defense. Maybe Shohei only gets one start. I mean, Shohei's going to have the natural advantage of pitching and hitting. But we'll see. Should be a lot of fun. Then you have the subplot of, you know, Otani, there was some thought he was going to go to the Blue Jays. His plane was arriving. I remember people were reporting that. And then the day later, he signs with the Dodgers. So you have that little subplot built in. But I like the Dodgers in a short series. It has been kind of weird here these last 3 days without baseball. I know you don't want to go against football on Thursday night. Wednesday's too quick of a turnaround. But, boy, it's almost out of sight, out of mind. You kind of forget the baseball season is still going. You have to remind yourself, oh, yeah, the World Series is on Friday. I've had that thought a couple times. We just keep forgetting about it, keep forgetting that the World Series is coming up. But once it starts, it's exciting. Game one here on Friday. Dodgers now minus 157 favorites, open 137. It's taking money, which wouldn't shock you. Snell's been awesome. I would only look towards the Dodgers in game one, but do I really want to lay close to $1.60? I don't. But I would expect the Dodgers to win the game. The layoff is something that concerns you, but I'm not going to bet the Blue Jays or pick the Blue Jays just because of the layoff. I'm sure they've been doing plenty of, you know, inter-squad scrimmages and seeing live pitching and trying to stay as fresh as possible. And we'll see how that plays out. Before we get to Tommy, the story of the day here is the arrest with Terry Rozier, the Heat guard, Chauncey Billups, the Blazers coach. And the story, and of course these are all allegations, the story looks like, boy, it looks like a movie. I mean, I'm sure one day it'll make for a great 30 for 30, great movie. Couple things in terms of a betting takeaway. I think, you know, by Monday this will probably blow over in terms of, you're not going to be talking to your friends about this Monday. If World Series is Friday, all the football, you know, college football Saturday, NFL Sunday. By Monday, this won't be the water cooler talk, for lack of a better term. but I would be concerned going forward that books do one of two things, if not both things. Start to cut down or eliminate on offerings. You know what? Do we really need to offer over-under assists for the eighth man for the Atlanta Hawks? We probably don't. Do we need to offer unders on these obscure players? Should we just bet? Oh, should we just offer overs only? Then we could jack the lines, and if you don't want to bet it, too bad. All of those things I could see happening. Overs only would be really bad. It would be really unfair. One-way markets are unfair. I hate that. Just it's not fair to the better. I could understand if you know Jonte Porter or some of these guys that are obscure players. Is it really worth the books to offer assists and rebounds and points props on these obscure players, obscure props? And it's not just the possibility of shenanigans. People betting that stuff from a sportsbook standpoint, they could use it as a convenient excuse. If you're betting Jonte Porter under assists, even if it's not shenanigans, even if it's not inside info, you've probably got a pretty good reason for betting it. You're probably a sharper better, and that's probably not action they want. So I could see that being prevalent down the road. They eliminate obscure players. They eliminate overs. I think all of those things are possible. You know, as far as people saying, oh, everything's rigged now, or I will say the one thing you can't say now, and when people say, oh, everything's rigged, and we kind of laugh and we call that person an idiot, you can't call that person an idiot anymore. This is not a great look for the leagues. That being said, I think it's more designated for basketball because the points are cheaper in basketball. Possessions are cheaper. It's just in football, unless you have the quarterback, you can't really rig these games, fix these games. It's impossible for a left guard by himself to affect a game. And you know, if you're not trying in football, you're going to get seriously hurt or get someone else seriously hurt, and you can't really do that much by yourself. As opposed to basketball, if you got the ball in your hand, you're a point guard, and you're a big favorite, you can kind of make sure, all right, we're favored by 8. Let's just miss a few free throws, turn it over a few times, and we still win the game, and we win by 5 or 6. It's the old Tony and Blue Chips where he starts yelling at Pete Bell, Nick Nolte, the coach, who says, we won the damn game. We were favored by 8, turn the ball over a few times, win by 5 or 6. Everyone's happy. That it's just so much easier to manipulate in basketball. I don't think it works that way in the other sports. I know baseball, you know, had the Indian relievers, the Guardian relievers throwing balls on purpose to manipulate that market. That was an odd occurrence. It's hard to throw a baseball game. It's hard to throw a baseball game. And the Black Sox, they got annoyed at the owner. They had the whole infield basically conspire to make errors, and the whole team was conspiring, the pitchers. When everyone's in on it, it's one thing, but if you're just have one rogue player try to throw a game, fix your game, he could fix his own props, but outside of basketball, that's why I think it's really resigned to basketball more than anything. It's hard to really, you know, pull that off. So I think people kind of forget about it. I think not that it's not a big deal, but I don't think this is something that, oh man, I'm never going to bet on these games again, or people start to think like that. It does give more credence to the people who thinks everything's fixed and they lose because of a bad call. That's fixed, or the ref had this. You can't say nothing is fixed anymore, but this stuff has been going on for a while. And I think ultimately, like I mentioned, the unders being eliminated from the offerings, the obscure players being eliminated from the offerings, I think those are possibly the tangible effects that we'll see. But a lot going on. Football picks, baseball, World Series. Great weekend. Really great weekend. We got the World Series, and you start to look at college football. Some of these teams after this weekend have like 4 games left. The college football season flies by. Week 8 in the NFL. So we'll talk to Tommy Lorenzo. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back, and Cover the Weekend is the name of the podcast. You know, I'm an East Coast guy. I got a lot of East Coast guys on this podcast, sometimes a little too East Coast landing. We'll mix it up a little. We'll go out to the West Coast. He's our buddy Tommy Lorenzo, does a great job on the podcast. Cover the Weekend, as I mentioned. The Dodgers are in the World Series. The Lakers season has started. The Rams are flying. Tommy, what's going on, man? Are you excited for the World Series? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And of course, you know, it's as a baseball fan yourself, you know, it's never easy to get into the playoffs and then into the World Series. And as a Dodger fan, I knew the struggles for decades, really, until recently. So pretty exciting times for me and all a lot of people here in LA and Southern California. So
Yeah, it's starting to, with the back-to-back World Series appearances and the money they spent, you're starting to feel the parallels. We'll see the parallels between this Dodger run, and if they win a World Series, they're going to continue to grow. In the late 90s, Yankees, and even some of my group chats, I'm like, hey, how would those teams match up? You know, Dodgers have more power. Yankees bullpen's better. I think there's some natural comparisons there. And, you know, when I was a Yankee fan, but at a young age, so it's hard to truly appreciate it. You know, Patriot fan goes through this too much as well with Brady. You know, when you're a real fan of a team, these runs can spoil a little bit. So it's good you're able to keep the perspective of, wow, this is pretty special to go to back-to-back once a year and make it seem routine like they have.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I lived through the Frank McCourt years when he owned the team. And, you know, I still remember 1988 like it was yesterday. It's, you know, one of those sports moments where you remember where you were sitting, how the lighting was when, you know, when Kirk Gibson hit his home run and then, you know, last year with Freeman as well. So, as you know, I love different kinds of sports. You know, I love football, love college hoops, but, you know, my first love is baseball. So to have the Dodgers be as competitive as they are is pretty special.
Let's get into it. Dodgers, sizable favorites. They're taking money for the series. They're taking money for game one, as you'd expect. I think the natural question you have to start with, and I don't know that anybody has an answer. I guess we'll find out tomorrow and even one game. Hey, it's one game sample. We'll use it one way or another. But the layoff, baseball's a day of rhythm. It's playing every day. They closed the Brewers out last Friday, which is great. You get to rest. You get to set up your pitching. Nobody wants to, you know, play a sixth, seventh game if you don't have to because you could lose. But that being said, do you have concerns here? And how do you look at the layoff here heading into game one? A week is a long time to go without playing baseball.
Yeah, it sure is, but I don't really think it's going to be that much of an issue for the Dodgers in this situation anyway. I know sometimes it could affect teams, but I don't think it'll affect the Dodgers. I think mainly because Blake Snell's going in game one. You know, that's really the thing. I think he's going to perform, and if the bats are a little slow, you know, to get out of the starting blocks a little bit, which might be, you know, the first few innings or something, whether it's nerves or rustiness, things like that. But I think the matchup is right in game one for the Dodgers, and I think that's what's really going to help in case there's any rust or, you know, a little bit of, you know, whatever it may be off the long layoff.
What wins out here? Dodgers pitchers have incredible swing and miss stuff. The Blue Jays are elite at putting the ball in play. And what's the saying? You go back to Little League Baseball, put the ball in play, good things happen. The Blue Jays are living proof of that. What do you think wins out here in that battle?
You know, that's what's fascinating about this series. And I think game to game, you have to keep that into account, not only as a fan, but as a sports bettor too. Like as a Dodger fan, looking at objectively, I love game one with Snell, but game two with Yamamoto, I have tremendous concerns. And it's really based on the fact of how the Blue Jays do versus righties versus lefties. They're very stingy in the batter's box. So I think it's a game to game proposition here in terms of the matchups and what the strengths are on both the Dodger side and the Blue Jays side.
Are you doing anything with game one?
I am. I'm all in on the Dodgers game one. Run line, Snell over 6.5 strikeouts. You know, he's pitched well there before and has done well against Toronto batters. You know, Toronto batters, they haven't seen a lot of lefties lately. And when they have, the strike rate's extremely high, 28% strikeout rate versus lefties over the last 30 days, you know, including the playoffs. And I think that's a pretty big very important type of number. And when you compare them against righties, they absolutely hammer righties. And they don't strike out versus right-handed pitchers. So I think the Dodgers in game one are going to be pretty formidable. It's game two that gives me pause. So I'm very comfortable going all in with the Dodgers in game one with the run line, Blake Snell pitcher's props. But it's game two that I certainly will back off in terms of backing the Dodgers from a betting standpoint.
So you're just taking the run line. You're going to say, hey, if they win by a run, I'll live with it. Or are you going to balance it out a little bit, be like half your bet on the money line, half on the run line, or are you just going all run line?
You know, I'm probably just going to do all run line because I'm that confident in Blake Snell and what the numbers are telling me with Blue Jays hitters. You know, he's pitched very well at Rogers Center, which is something Yamamoto has not pitched there yet. And the thing with Yamamoto, too, it's interesting. He hasn't pitched well in a limited sample size in dome games. Here since he's come over to the U.S. He's struggled in domes, ERA over 6. He's never pitched at Rogers Center there in Toronto. So that's kind of what I'm going with in game one is that Snell's familiarity with a lot of those batters, familiarity with pitching in Toronto before, and just the dominance, you know, the lefty-righty, the lefty pitcher going against these Toronto batters. I just think it checks off a lot of boxes to back the Dodgers in game one.
And as you're thinking, I hadn't really thought of this angle, but it might be a way to attack it too. And one thing to add, Blue Jays team total in the first five, under 1.5, minus $1.25. If you think good matchup for Snell, you avoid the bullpen aspect of this, you just, it's a cleaner handicap. Maybe that's a way to attack it too.
Yeah, that is great. I don't know if I love minus 125, but under two, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that works just fine if it's just Snell you're talking about. And, you know, I think Snell's going to go as long as Dave Roberts will, you know, sees that he's capable. Although I think he pulled him a little early last time. For my taste, I know he was right around 100 pitches. But, you know, first five, I think that is a good way to look at it. I think Snell will be very effective Friday.
Yeah, and you mentioned 6.5 is the K prop. And if you're curious, out prop, 17.5. I would think fresh series. I know the bullpen is rested. You can look at it both ways. I would think as long as Snell's pitching pretty well here, and we both kind of think he will, over 17.5 outs might be a way to go, too. I think you'll get six innings out of Snell. I can't see Roberts with a shaky bullpen running right in the beginning of the series to take him out after five and a third. And again, as long as he's going well, he's giving up a run, maybe two, I think he gets through six. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, agree 100%. I think Dave Roberts will push it. He does not trust his bullpen, and for good reason. You know, at least the middle relievers. You know, Sasaki's been fine, late inning stuff, but that the bridge there is always a little. You know, I call it a shaky bridge or a compromised bridge, a bridge you don't want to cross. Those bridge pitchers in the Dodgers bullpen. So I think Snell will be pushed. I think he'll pitch fine. I'm very, very confident. Again, I keep referring to game one. It's game two that worries me a little bit.
MVP, we know Ohtani's going to be the favorite. He's got the advantage of, he's a pitcher and a hitter, and he does anything like he did in game four. He can come out of nowhere and win that award. That being said, I don't know that there's any value on him. Anyone you like for MVP?
Love Max Muncy for MVP. He's hammered a couple of these guys. Kevin Gausman, 333, three home runs and 18 at-bats. Chris Bassitt, he's being used out of the bullpen a little more. But he's got three home runs against him, 364 batting average. He's homered off of Scherzer as well. You know, all these right-handed pitchers that Muncy's going to see, the only drawback is he's lower in the lineup. But if you're looking for value, you know, Muncy's anywhere from 25-1 to 35-1 out there in the market. So if you're looking for this year's potential Freddie Freeman from the left side, I think at the price, you know, 35-1 is the highest I've seen. Check your sports book. I think Muncy is certainly high value here, given the pitching he's going to face and the fact that he's had success against a few of these guys.
Oh, man, I might have to borrow that one. Not only bet it, but I do some writing work for Fox, and they want us to do a little write-up, you know, MVP prediction. I might have to look at Muncy at 25-1. I thought of Betts at 15-1, and I thought of Snell. Mm-hmm. Betts was 20-1 the other day. I saw some people tweet out tickets 23-1 just because, I mean, look, it is still Mookie Betts. I know a little bit of a down year, but he could certainly throw together a 9-for-23 with three homers. People like him, which matters in this. So I thought he was live. And we'll get to your thoughts on the series overall in general. I think I bet Dodgers to sweep plus 680 just because I bet it last round at plus 750. I want to go back to it. But I'm kind of thinking Dodgers in five, and if that's the case, Snell pitches well in game one. He could pitch game five and close them out. If you got two of the five wins, Snell at around 19-20-1, I don't think that is bad either. Anyone else you're looking at for MVP, and where do you ultimately land on this series? Who wins and how many games?
Yeah, well, you took the other one from me is Snell, and for the reasons you nailed it. He's going to get two starts. And again, the metrics with these Blue Jays batters against lefties, not very good. K rate's almost 30%. So I think Snell has a very good shot of having two incredible starts and being in the running for MVP. Again, like you mentioned, though, you know, if someone wants to bet Shohei at plus 160, plus 180, that's fine. But, you know, you got to look for value here. And if you're thinking that maybe Shohei doesn't get it, you got value with Betts, Freeman, Snell, a bunch of Dodger guys, if, of course, you think the Dodgers are going to win. As far as the series goes, yeah, I'm looking at five or six games for the Dodgers. You know, I'm dating myself a little bit. Back in 88 in high school, Oakland A's, remember it well, that monster lineup they had, Canseco, McGuire right in the middle of it. And, you know, they were supposed to sweep the Dodgers or beat them in five or six, and the Dodgers beat them in six. So when it's World Series time, you know, you never know what can happen. And the Blue Jays are playing some good baseball right now. But ultimately, with Snell pitching two of those games, I think Glasnow will be fine. Again, I keep harping back to game two. If the Dodgers hit, you know, the pitcher's undecided for the Blue Jays, they're going to have to hit a little bit because I don't think Yamamoto is going to be shut down that game in terms of shutting down Blue Jays pitchers. I think when you're looking at the series five or six, if they can get by game two, if the Dodgers go in there and win the two games, easy for me to say, of course, I think the sweeps are definitely going to be in play.
And they played August 8th, 9th, and 10th. Dodgers won two out of three. I think Blue Jays won the first one. Dodgers won the next two. I can't take much from that. Do you take anything from that two out of three in August?
I really don't. You got the Dodgers losing to the Pirates, and you know how the season goes. And the Dodgers really through periods of the season. You know, I watch a lot of Dodgers baseball, obviously, as a fan. They sleptwalk a little bit through some little periods of the season. So, you know, this is prime time now, and you've seen them all kind of crank up their game. So, yeah, no, I don't see too much into that. And, you know, and kudos to the Blue Jays. I think if you would have asked a lot of people, hey, a team from the AL East is going to make the World Series this year, here's $100, which one are you betting? Blue Jays may have even been my fourth choice. You know, they've done spectacular this season, and they usually tail off, and they're going. So, you know, they're not going to be a pushover, but I think the key is at that game two for the Dodgers. If they can get that game two, then the momentum, I think, is going to be hard to stop.
We'll move on to other things. What are they going to turn? Are they going to win the World Series? Turn around and sign Kyle Tucker after all this?
I mean, possibly. I mean, that's the thing, right? They're connecting Kyle Tucker to the Dodgers. He's a great player. Anything's better than Conforto, of course, but it's a big step up from Michael Conforto in the outfield. So as a Dodger fan, I don't hate it. I know the rest of the league and their fans will not like that, but, you know, we'll see. You know, the Dodgers obviously aren't afraid to spend, so we'll see if that comes to fruition. But, you know, for the money they do spend, as opposed to what their neighbor down Interstate 5 with the Angels have done and the money they've spent over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, the Dodgers spend, but they spend it on the right guys. So, you know, that's part of it too. You can spend, the Mets have done it. You can go out and go on a shopping spree, but if you don't get the right guys, it's really going to hit your lineup and your overall performance.
And I don't want to go off on a rant because my listeners are sick of hearing this. As a Yankee fan, the Yankees used to spend like this, but these teams all make a ton of profit. They're all owned by billionaires. You can do one of two things. You can put the money in your pocket, right, or you could put it back on the field into players, and the Dodgers put it into players. So I don't think they're the problem. I think the other teams are the problem.
Well, easy for me to agree, but I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get – no, we'll go football. Sure. What's your favorite football bet of the weekend?
I like two games in college football. There's several that I like, but the big one I like is Missouri going to Vanderbilt. You know, Vanderbilt all of a sudden has become a really public darling, Missouri's defense is as nasty as they come, top 10 defense. And, you know, Vanderbilt, yeah, they beat LSU, and kudos to them for that. But if you include LSU's record of 5-2, you know, the combined record of teams Vandy has beat, 17-26. So to me, Missouri's going to come into town, I think, and give them a pretty big surprise on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Vandy's getting nearly 80% of the money here. And this line is being very stingy at 2.5. I did see a 3 pop up out in one of the smaller books in Vegas. But, you know, this line hasn't moved off that 2.5 yet. It's pretty stingy staying there. But Vandy's getting 80% of the money. I just think that Missouri comes in there with that defense and gets it done. It's going to be a good game. And Vanderbilt's fantastic. Great story and everything else. But I think this Missouri defense is going to be the difference.
I like Vandy. I don't know. I've liked this team. I watched them versus Bama. I thought they, I don't want to say could have won, but should have won. Not should have won, but could have won. You know, turnovers in the red zone last week. Not as impressive defensively. LSU moved the ball, but I like the advantage. I think Pavia is just, I trust him more than Prabula, who still has limited experience on the road. I thought Missouri was pretty fortunate to beat Auburn last week. Yes. I think 3 is probably the right number. So if you like Vandy, I'd probably just go money line. But there is part of me that's just rooting for Vandy to somehow get to an SEC title game, which if you look at the schedule, is not impossible. It'll probably be like a field goal underdog next week against Texas. You know, Tennessee's a winnable game. These games are all winnable. Vandy playing in December for the whole thing in the SEC is really not out of the realm of possibility. It's such a new era of college football. Indiana and Vandy and Georgia Tech and South Florida, these teams that are possibly in the college football playoff. But I love it. I think it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great game. This is just one of my favorite matchups of the weekend. It's going to be great to watch. And no, Vandy's a great story, and they're very well coached. you know, the fact that, you know, academic school and they maybe don't get all the players that the other guys do. So really, I'm not poo-pooing Vandy. I just think that Missouri defense will be the difference here. But we'll see. It's going to be a close game.
A little more of a home crowd, too. That was usually just kind of one where, you know, you could really – it's not a typical SEC crowd, put it that way. But now there's starting to be some juice in that building, a little more of a vibe, a little more of an environment. What else did you like college football? What else were you looking at?
You know, a lot of people think this is a great spot for Iowa State. I don't blame them. You know, coming off two losses that stung, then a bye week. But I really like BYU here. I just don't trust Iowa State's defense whatsoever. I think BYU is going to be able to run the ball. That kid, Bear Bachmeyer, who actually went to high school five blocks from my house, and this is not why I'm taking BYU, because I've bet against him this season once or twice and paid the price for it. But I just don't like Iowa State's defense at all. Rocco Beck's a great quarterback, but BYU's defense is going to be tough enough, I think, to go in there and get a win. There's going to be a time to fade BYU. You know, they've got Texas Tech and Cincinnati on the road coming up, but this is not the game to do it. You're getting 2.5-3 points with BYU, and I like them this week.
You know, it's unusual for a national champion to be undefeated and so under the radar. Is Ohio State just going to go back-to-back? Are they going to be the Dodgers where they just were overlooking them or not talking about them enough because they've been so good on defense despite losing all the NFL talent? Sane, I think, looks pretty impressive, probably better than I thought he'd be. Do you would that be your national champion pick right now or somebody else?
Yeah, it's Ohio State for me, and I agree with you with their quarterback saying he's improving every game. And if he's getting better, even if it's slow progress, if he keeps getting better, and I'm a big defensive guy. You just heard me talk about the last two games. I love me some good defenses because, you know, usually a defense won't slump. Ohio State looks very good. What sold me on Ohio State was that game at Washington. A few weeks back, just the speed I saw, how disruptive that defense was, and I like their quarterback. So I'm with you, Will. You know, right now I don't see anyone else other than Ohio State. You know, we'll see if Oregon can get it back. You know, they lost a little bit with that Indiana game, but I still think Oregon's formidable. And you know, we'll see with Indiana too. You know, they're still not the sexy name, and people still aren't believing in them in terms of a national championship contender. But you got to start eventually thinking that, you know, if they go deep, you know, what can they do? And you got Notre Dame lurking too. You know, I don't think they're at a level of Ohio State, but as these teams keep improving, we'll see. But the fact that their quarterback, Ohio State's, keeps improving, I think that's what makes them ultra tough.
All right, the big story of the day. I want to get your take. Terry Rozier arrested. Chauncey Billups, the Blazer coach, arrested. Rozier is a guard for the Heat. I'll give you my take, and you can just kind of riff off that and react. I think World Series on Friday, college football Saturday, NFL Sunday. By Monday, this is not going to be, you know, water cooler talk, for lack of a better term. I think people will just kind of forget and move on. That being said, I could see the long-term takeaway, long-term effect of this. Books just getting away from offering bench players, obscure player props, and or unders on stuff. Or, all right, we'll post stuff on this, and some of these books in Connecticut do, especially for college. You can bet over on whatever. Diego Pavia's passing prop, you can't bet under. So I could see a scenario, and books could probably use that as an excuse too. Like, all right, if you're betting a backup player, the eighth guy on the Charlotte Hornets under his rebounds, that's probably a sharp bet or somebody with some info. We don't want that action anyway. So I could see that being the takeaway. But how do you feel about this? Does this make you less willing to bet? Are you one of these people that blames the books or blames the league for being in bed with the books? What's your whole takeaway on this?
You know, my knee-jerk reaction whenever a bad beat happens or I'm sitting there, I'm like, this has got to be funny business going on. But an hour later, over a beer, I'm thinking, you know what? That was a bad handicap, bad beat. Just, you know, chalk it up to bad luck. This is like a Scorsese movie with, you know, the sunglasses and the holograms on the playing cards, whatever you want to call it. I think sports books, you know what, Will? Look, man, it's something I talk about in my podcast. It's us versus the sports books. It's not us versus us. And when you look at the sports books, it's the sports books versus us. You know, and yeah, they're gonna take full advantage of this and you know, craft their offerings a little bit just to have more of an advantage. And you know, part of it is legitimate that, you know, they don't want any funny business going on or be victim to it. But you know, it's a great excuse for them to minimize value for the sports bettor. And if I'm running a sports book, it's a perfect scenario where I have, you know, a great excuse to I'm not going to say stick it to the sports better, but to modify things to get odds in the sportsbook's favor more. So, you know, it's unfortunate, not surprising. You know, this has been going on since the Black Sox, and this has been going on for years. Denny McClain in baseball, it's never going to end. You're always going to have these types of situations, but now that sports betting is so mainstream, it affects the sports better. It's not going to hurt the sports books. You may have them get hit a little bit with some funny business, but then they're going to turn around and adjust things so they're not susceptible to that kind of stuff. And it's going to hurt the sports.
You know what? Absolutely. And I'm always pro better, and I'm usually harsh on these books. I think I'm fair. If a book wants to come out and say, you know what, it doesn't make sense for us to order to offer over under assist for Jonte Porter, the ninth man on the Raptors. It doesn't make sense for us to offer that. I can't really counter. You know what? If I was running a book, if you were in a book, we'd probably have a conversation. You said, you know what, that probably makes some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and what's the handle on stuff like that? You know, it's
right.
It's minimal. You know, you'll still focus on the big money stuff like March Madness, college football, NFL, and all the day to day stuff. So, you know,
I just hope it doesn't come to a place where all of the stuff, it's only offered overs. That would be bad. That would be one where the books can just, hey, SGA, we're going to put his over at whatever, because we know you can only bet the over. People only want to bet overs anyway. And Jokic and all these players, and we're going to make it a one-way market. That, I think, would be very bad. That, I hope it doesn't come to that, but I wouldn't rule it out either.
Yeah, I hope not. When you start saying that, the first thing I think of is baseball. You know, K-props, things like that. And, you know, we already saw the malfeasance with those Guardians players. So yeah, I hope not either, but I'm not holding my breath. I could see sportsbooks start to go that direction. And, you know, they have a very nice excuse now given the recent news.
Tommy, you're the best, man. What's the vibe in LA? People excited about the Lakers, or are they just, hey, this is kind of a gap year until we get somebody else and replace LeBron with a bigger star, younger star, maybe Giannis? Or are people just excited for Luka? How are people feeling out there?
Yeah, we'll see how they start the season. I think after a few weeks and after the Dodgers World Series finishes up, I think you'll start seeing a lot more interest in the Lakers. It's all Dodgers now here in SoCal. Yeah. Everyone's waiting for the Dodgers. But, you know, having Luka's exciting. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think, me too, I think we're waiting. You know, I'm not a big LeBron guy. I think he needs to kind of ride off in the sunset or go back to Cleveland, whatever his next steps are going to be. And then, you got that money to work with, and you can build some pieces around Luka and really get something going. But right now, crypto.com or Staples, whatever, I still call it Staples Center, sell out every night. And it's still, showtime there in L.A., so they're still selling out that place. So, we'll see. I'm optimistic that they'll have a good season. We'll see. We'll see how it goes this year with them.
I'm not even a staple guy. To me, it's still the Great Western Forum. I love the Great Western Forum. That was the best.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, they're not good enough defensively. I mean, those guys, Luka and LeBron at his age, and Reeves, you can hunt those guys defensively. And we talked about it with the Dodgers owners. They finally got some new owners. It's not the Buss family, so they're not going to be cheap. I think they'll be able to attract players. And this just doesn't feel like a title team. It feels like, and I don't think LeBron, you get the sense, he doesn't love the idea. And it makes sense. I mean, it's been his team, every team he's ever been on. This is really not his team anymore. He's kind of second fiddle. Luka's younger. Luka at this stage is better. He's kind of a bigger star, not overall, because LeBron's one of the two best players of all time. But I don't think LeBron loves this idea that he's kind of second fiddle to Luka right now.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, maybe he'll go over to the Clippers, because he would fit the narrative with that team. That would have been the dream team 10 years ago, but no, not nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy, you're the best. Where can we find you?
Sportsbook Tom on Twitter, and of course every week Cover the Weekend is the podcast. And appreciate you having me on, Will. Always great talking to you.
Awesome, man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to Tommy Lorenzo. Rate, review, subscribe, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the World Series. We'll be back Monday. See you then.